Dear congregation, I see that preaching from Matthew 24, I actually did so this morning, so my preaching comes from a similar passage in Luke's Gospel. So let us turn to Luke 21, verse 1 through 19. Luke 21, verse 1 through 19. And I will focus on most of it, but then highlight verse 13 and 19. Hear God's word. Luke 21. And Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. Then, as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, these things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. So they asked him, saying, teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? And he said, take heed that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he. And the time must draw near. Therefore do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. For these things must come to pass first. But the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. So note that verse. It will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. This is the word of God. Brothers and sisters, when I visited Kenya in 2019 and I attended a conference that really changed a lot of my outlook on the world, especially the couple of decades or so, I left that place resolved to preach more sermons on the biblical text on persecution. The speaker spoke to us on Islamic persecution in Africa for 4 days, and I was so deeply touched with my 100-plus brothers there from Africa, some of them living in places of severe persecution. I was so touched by those 4 days, and when the speaker said that we in the West are so unprepared, and one reason is that we have neglected the many passages in Scripture about persecution, I was very determined to preach more on these. And so that is one of these sermons that I'm bringing you today. And I pray that it might bless your heart. Now, I don't think any of you will disagree with me that we are living in very different times. One can even say troubling times. And I'm not referring now specifically to the COVID time, but I'm thinking of what we are all experiencing in the fact that in a certain way, hostility against Christianity is rising, sometimes even from governments. Sometimes you read it between the lines, and we see it in all kinds of ways. Also, people that are being sued and dragged before the courts and so forth. But did you know that the Lord's disciples were facing persecution for most of 2,000 years? And many of our brothers and sisters are facing persecution right now. In actual fact, we have had it very good for here in America for a very long time. And in Europe, especially since the last World War, but even here in North America, we've had it very good. And so, in some way or another, that rubbed off on us, and we must be aware of that. And so, as we see, in a very real sense, darker clouds gathering on the horizon, how do we respond? How do we respond? Now, there are four different kinds of responses. The one is to deny what is happening, to live with your head in the sand. Unfortunately, some try that. The second one is to join the crowd, to join the opposite side. And of course, that is no option, I hope, for none here. But some are doing even that. The third is to live in fear and anxiety. But that is not befitting for a Christian either. And the last is to be well prepared. That means, pure and simple, to be spiritually prepared for the very worst. So what if persecution is coming? What if there is a global agenda to force anyone into some global kind of lifestyle and a worldview that we do not want? What if that is happening? Or what if we just simply go through huge political upheavals? What if, perhaps, we face the end of the world? Has it ever struck you that our Lord Jesus made sure to speak to his disciples about these things, not here and there, but again and again? He told them, I quote, "Let not your hearts be troubled. I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away." Please note, to keep you from falling away. "They will put you out of synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think that he is offering service to God." Jesus said, and I was quoting from John, "I spoke to you because I don't want your hearts to be troubled. I don't want you to be unprepared." So Jesus thought the best way to prepare you and me is to talk to us about it, is not to live in our heads in the sand. And so, are you prepared for whatever the world may throw at us in God's providence? Are you prepared even for the end of the age? For if you are ready for that, believe me, you are prepared for anything that 2021 can throw at us. Now, before I jump into the text, one last thing. Please bear in mind, dear child of God, the turbulence we are facing in the world. You know how our Lord Jesus spoke about those signs at the end. These signs are nothing but the birth pains of a new creation. Please keep that in mind. It's the birth pains of a new creation. A woman who does not want to face the agony of birth pains cannot have the joy of bringing a child into the world and cuddling that child in her arms. And so, as children of the living God, please keep in mind, we are at the cusp of something incredible. The dawn of a new age. I really believe that. So, as we look at our text, ask yourself two simple questions. What am I living for? And how will I preserve my life? Think about these two questions. What is my ultimate purpose in life? Don't fool yourself with cliches. Think about it deeply. Because that is what your text, what our text will speak to us about. focus is essential. You know, those mornings when you get up with great focus, you accomplish so much more than when you don't really know what you want to do. You don't have a real plan for the day. Secondly, ask yourself the question, how will you preserve your life? How will you save your soul? And these are words that the Bible uses. So it's not my language, it's the Bible's language. Of course we know it's the Lord that preserves us. But putting it in the biblical terms, how will you preserve your life? Because if you know the answer to that, it will also afford you great peace. So with those two questions in mind, let us jump right into the text. First of all, what do you live for, Christian? Jesus and his disciples were leaving the majestic temple there in Jerusalem. And he had just commended a widow for putting the last two copper coins in an offering box. And he was basically saying to his disciples, this woman's heart is right with God. She has given everything she has. Her heart is at the right place. And as they left the temple, some of the disciples spoke of its majesty in the midday sun, the mighty big stones it was made from. And Jesus then warned them. What a warning you think that could be. If you've ever seen those big stones at Jerusalem, when he said, not one of these stones will be left upon another. You can just imagine the disciples would have been shocked. And so that provoked a counter question from his disciples. Teacher, when will these things be? Now in answering that question, our Lord Jesus actually blended two events. He blended the events of the immediate future, that is the destruction of Jerusalem, and of the distant future, whenever the Son of Man will come back. And so as we read both in Luke and Matthew, these discourses of our Lord Jesus, remember that the two are intertwined, and we have to keep that in mind. But nevertheless, there are lots between these two that are fully in agreement. So, teacher, when will these things be? In answer to that question, the very first thing Jesus said is, watch out. Let no one lead you astray. Let no one deceive you. Everywhere you see our Lord Jesus highlighting one thing in the last days, deception. There will be massive deception. Now, I will not go into that this morning, but please take note of that. Don't be surprised if there is great deception today. The Lord Jesus spoke of that. Paul spoke of that in 2 Thessalonians 2 as well. Great deception. And those who do not love the truth will be swept away by the lie. And then Jesus goes on from verse 10 and assures them, before the end comes, they will lay their hands on you. The Lord is not focusing on cosmic signs and political turmoil. Yes, it will be there. But he's focusing on what they might physically experience on their own bodies. He wants his disciples to be fully prepared on that which they can expect because they are his disciples. We can talk about events in the world forever, but at the end of the day, we as the Lord's disciples have to be well prepared. And so the Lord wants to make sure of one thing, that they will be worthy to stand before the Son of Man. So what can they expect? What can they expect? Well, the Lord Jesus told them, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. They will arrest you. They will take you into custody. They were about to do it with Jesus himself. You realize that Jesus was bound like a felon? You saw those images on television. You see them sometimes. Well, our Lord Jesus was bound and led away. So they will lay their hands on you. They will arrest you. They will take you into custody. Expect this to happen. Don't be surprised when it comes. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I may not avoid or seek to avoid persecution in God-honoring, legitimate ways, without breaking His commands, without, denying His people. No, we may. But when it comes, remember the words of your Lord Jesus. So when you have your devotions tomorrow morning, thank God that it hasn't happened yet. But pray for His children who have already experienced this. And picture in your mind that this could happen in Canada. They will lay their hands on you. Just think, don't think of it as a remote possibility. Think of it as a reality. They will lay their hands on you, delivering you up to synagogues and prisons. Luke is saying, expect it to come from both the religious and the secular authorities. In Israel, when you were arrested in the synagogue, you were taken to the Sanhedrin. That's why he says, delivering you up to synagogues and prison. But in the empire, if you were arrested, then you were thrown into jail to await your trial. Doesn't matter where it will come from, Jesus is saying, either from the state or the church, be ready for that. Or in those days, rather, the Jewish religion. The point is clear. They will round you up for a purpose, to have you appear before the authorities. Now, let it be clear. In the world that we live in, hundreds of thousands are detained without trial. They are punished for no crime. They have never faced any trial. And so Luke is actually living in a more civilized time than many are living in today. At least Luke is expecting a fair trial, or some, let me rather say a trial, wouldn't say a fair one, which many Christians that have been persecuted don't even have the luxury of. And then you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. And this is huge. He says it will happen for his name's sake. It's very important to see this. You remember when the Lord spoke in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. So what is going on here? Jesus is emphasizing two things that you will hear again and again. He says, don't feel down when this happens. Don't go into despair, but rejoice. You read Peter's first letter, and it's the same all over as he wrote to the early Christians. It is an honor when this happens, my brothers. Don't be ashamed. Beloved, don't be surprised about the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as if something strange is happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, this is a sign that you have been chosen for eternal life. And so you should rejoice and be glad. Just make sure of one thing. That there is never any doubt as to why it is happening. Now, people may spin all kinds of stories why it is happening, why you have been taken into custody. But let it be clear in your heart and to anyone who knew the fact, who knows the facts, that it is on account of Jesus and His truth that it is for righteousness' sake, for what is right. Peter makes this point as well. Let no one of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, an evildoer, a meddler, a troublemaker. Please don't blur the issue Let no one say, well, what is it really about? It's also confusing. It must be clear, at least to those who have all the facts, that it was for righteousness' sake, for Christ's sake, for His people's sake. And so, for you and I do not want to bring dishonor on the Lord's name. If we are persecuted for His name's sake, we have reason to feel blessed. But when we cause trouble, then we don't have reason to feel so. And so, if you want to think, why is it that Christians are by far the most persecuted minority in the world in many places today, let me give you three reasons very quickly. First, because Christians say Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And these are provocative political terms. Think of anyone in power. You say that Jesus is King of Kings? Wow. Secondly, it is because Christians uphold the Lord's standards of justice and morality. And especially in our day, sexual morality. Morality on life and death as well. That's the second reason. And thirdly, because we remind the world through our living and speaking of a final reckoning that the Lord is coming. That is why Christians are often not so popular. Nonetheless, I'm back to my point. They will seize you and hand you over and bring you before kings and governors. And this is normal in many parts of the world. And just when we think it is all meaningless, Luke reveals the divine purpose of it all. Listen closely. Here is the reason why you exist. You remember we asked the question? What is your purpose for being? Here it is. You find it there in verse 13. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. And now don't think that is just one little sentence in Luke. That runs like a golden thread through Luke. It will be a reason. It will be an occasion for you to bear testimony. That is huge. That is God's purpose. Do you know when the Lord told Ananias in Damascus to go and visit Saul, the persecutor of the church, and he told Ananias, Saul was converted, you have to go. And Ananias said, no, I'm never going. God says, you will go. Because I'm sending you to a man chosen as my instrument among the Gentiles, and what? And to stand before governors and kings. And you see that all through Luke and Acts. Wow. What a view on life. Do you know that was the very purpose in Luke and Acts? So that you will bear witness before the authorities. Around New Year, someone sent me this text from South Africa. Think of it in contrast to what I've just said. The text read like this. In 2021, God will bless me. God will crown me. God will guide me. God will heal me. God will restore me. God will select me. God will promote me. He will position me. He will connect me. He will announce me. He will congratulate me. He will distinguish me. Wow. Some of it is true, of course. I don't deny. But is this not the reason why our Christianity has become so weak? God is there for me. He is there for me and for my family. Jesus' words seem so far removed. This will be an opportunity for you to bear testimony to me. That will be your opportunity. In other words, The Lord Jesus is saying, that is your reason for being. Do you realize that? Your reason for being is to bear testimony to Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was the first. Then came Jesus, and he bore testimony before Antipas and Pilate. Peter, John, and Stephen followed, bearing testimony before the Sanhedrin. Then James, before Herod, and Paul, he bore testimony before Gallio, Felix, Agrippa, Festus, and finally Nero. And so it went on for 2,000 years. And many bore testimony that were not apostles and not pastors, ordinary Christians. Like Perpetua in the early church, that young woman who gave such a brave testimony. There was Marie Durant in the time of Huguenot France. And so they bore testimony. Think of Corrie ten Boom, bearing testimony. You know, Paul wrote to the Philippians, in Philippians 1, don't worry about me, that I am in jail. It's actually good that I am here. The whole imperial guard has heard the story behind my chains. I am here for Christ's sake. Don't worry about me. It's because I am here that many Christians receive more boldness to speak up for Jesus. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, of course, not all believers will end up there before governors and kings. But all of us should be willing to stand there. All of us should regard this as an honor to bear testimony to Him. What Jesus did for us before Pilate, we must be willing to do for Him. For then alone can you say, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, this is huge. What happens when you bear testimony at great risk to somebody else? Maybe somebody's name is being dragged through the mud unfairly, maybe even fairly. What do? If you love that person, you stand up for that person. That is how you show your loyalty and your love. To just run away and to hide is not to show loyalty. That is why Jesus said, if you want to follow me, take up your cross. You have to associate with me. And so please settle this in your mind. This is our reason for being. Make sure that you train every day for this in peaceful circumstances. Make use of opportunities the Lord give to give testimony in a simple way. To come up for your Savior, for His people, and for what is right. Yes, I know. You and I have failed many times. We have reason to be ashamed of ourselves. We have been cowards many times. But God is gracious. If we are willing to say, Lord, change us. Fill us now with courage. Do you know that courage is probably the virtue that is most lacking in the Western world? That is what people say who come from outside. Courage is most lacking in the Western world. It's where we are the weakest. So let us pray for that. And as you go on your knees, making use of every opportunity to give testimony. And sometimes those opportunities come so unexpectedly. In very positive circumstances, the Lord give them to you. There's a story that I told before when in my first congregation, I was called out to a young girl who was in hospital. She had been in a motor car accident. And as I walked in and I saw her, she was lying flat on her back. Her head was kept straight by some pins. Her eyes were bloodshot. And she told me the doctor had just left. And she just heard from the doctor that she will be paralyzed for the rest of her life. And I didn't know, what do you say? I had no words. And I went out because I felt I was fainting. I went out to the bathroom and washed my face. I said, Lord, what do I tell this girl? And God gave me the words. Words that I would not have thought of to tell her. And it was a huge blessing to her. And God used it not only in her salvation, but also in her parents' salvation. The Lord answered my prayer in a minute there. And He is willing to do that for us in any situation that we may find ourselves in. Let us always be willing to give testimony to Him. But now in the second place, how will you save your life, my friend? This is the second thing we should be sure about. Let us be blank honest to ourselves. Let us not tell ourselves, yeah, God will save my life. He will preserve me. We know that. The Lord is the one who saves and preserves. But the Bible tells us here in our text in verse 19 of 21, by your patience possess your souls. So what is Luke talking about? What is the Lord Jesus talking about? How will we preserve our souls? What is it that we seek to save? For that is what other translations say. By your patience you will save your souls. Please continue on listening to Jesus. There in verse 14, therefore settle it in your hearts, not to meditate beforehand what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all of your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. The Lord says, I will provide. Don't worry about that. I will provide. And then He says, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. It seems it's getting tougher and tougher all the time. Remember, we are asking, how will you preserve your soul? How will you save your life? The Lord's saying, don't worry about what you will say. And then He goes on and says, it's going to get tougher. You will be betrayed by parents, by brothers, by relatives and friends. Well, think about that. It is getting so close now. Each one of those family members, fellow believers, relatives, acquaintances, friends, even friends. Wow. We as Christians need to face these words and say, what if that happens to me? I was sitting even a week ago praying with people coming from China where a mother was threatening them that she will tell the police because they were having Christians in their home together. The Lord Jesus says, expect that. Expect the worst. There is nothing worse than to be betrayed by those close to you. And so how will you preserve your life? What will prevent you from giving up and say, this is not worth it? Following Jesus, being a Christian is not worth it. It's so tough. What will prevent you from going there? For nothing cuts as deep as this. Probably that is why the Lord mentioned it last of all. We should not be afraid. For our Lord God prepared us for anything and everything. Yes, none of us will be able to face up to the challenge. Humanly speaking, none of us are. We will betray one another. That is what we will do of our own nature. But by God's grace, we will be able to preserve our lives. The same grace that saved us from sin will be able to preserve us to carry our cross to the end. And how will that happen? Listen what he says. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. By your endurance. What does he mean? Never giving up. Looking at Jesus all the time, how he was betrayed. You remember when he was taken to the courtyard of Caiaphas. After he was betrayed by Judas. And then how his best friend, Peter, said three times, I don't know that man, even cursing when he said that. Think of Jesus. Think of what went he through for us. For here is a command and a promise. He says, by your patience, possess your soul. Be patient. Stand firm. Never give up on your loyalty to Christ. The ordeal will soon be over. By your endurance and patience and steadfastness, you will win your life. Let not your love grow cold. Hang in there, my friend. His grace is sufficient for you. There is no other solution but by being patient until the day Jesus comes to take you home, or he comes on the clouds in great glory. So, this is how you will preserve your life. You will save your life. Carry on and imagine what it is that is at stake. Your very life. Just think of it. If you are tempted to quit, if you are tempted to follow the crowd, just think of it. It is your life that is at stake. Now, I'm drawing to a close. Think of it, what it is about, your life. Do you know people who are in great addiction, slavery to substances, whatever addiction it might be? Do you know what brings them to a turning point when they reach rock bottom? Whatever addiction it might be. It always, in some form, comes down to this. Yes, often the gospel brings them to realize this. You know what they realize? It is my life. It is my life that I'm throwing away. My life, my marriage, my children, my work, my health, my life that God has given me, I'm throwing it away. It is when somebody reaches that point to see that, for the first time, that there is a change, and the downward curve turns upward. In other words, in following Jesus in this world, think about what is at stake. Your life. The life God gave you when you were born from your parents, and the eternal life that He promised you in the gospel. This is what is at stake. Let not the world lure you and tempt you for the sake of ease and comfort and acceptance and popularity. It is your life that is at stake. And Jesus is our lives. And so if we deny Him, there is really nothing else to live for. And so it is by our patience that we will preserve our lives. That is what James wrote. The farmers wait on the early and the latter rains. The prophets and the Old Testament, they endured through patience. You think of Job and how he endured when his wife said, curse God and die. He said, no, he preserved through what? patience, patience, patience until the end. And patience simply means I follow in the Lord's way, even though it is tough, until He comes and rescue me, or until He comes and make things better. And so be absolutely convinced of that as you approach 2021. When anxiety wants to stalk you, be convinced of this, that your life purpose is to bear witness to Jesus, and that you will preserve your soul by being patient until the end. Is it not amazing that Jesus is saying, some of you will even be put to death, and everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair from your head will perish. Is it not incredible? You might be put to death, and yet not a hair from your head will perish. It sounds incredulous. It is a contradiction. Losing your head means losing all your hair. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, nothing can happen outside of my Father's will. Nothing. If you have to die, you will die. If you won't suffer persecution, you won't suffer persecution. Make sure that you are not worried about this. For nothing can be done against you, against my Father's will. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You may be sure of that. All things must work together for good for those who love me. For to this you have been predestined. When we think of predestined, we think of eternity. No, what does Romans say? To this you have been predestined, to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Please keep that in your hearts. You have been predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. So when you take up your cross and you're willing to bear testimony and you're patient until the end, do you know what is happening with you? The glory of God is upon you because you are being transformed into the image of Jesus, because that is what Jesus was. He was patient to the end. He was willing to bear testimony. And that is to what you and I were predestined for. And therefore, we have been justified, called and justified and glorified. Oh, my dear friends in the Lord, brothers and sisters, hold on to the great promises of our God and never think ever of turning back. Just serve the Lord with all your heart. We follow a great shepherd who has given his life for us. And nothing is able to snatch us out of our Father's hand. If you keep these words in mind, you will be fine. You will be okay in 2021. And not only in 2021. You will be fully prepared for the end of the world. May the Lord bless you all. Amen. Come, let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that your word might find entrance in our hearts in a time of much confusion and chaos and deception. I pray that, Lord, even this feeble sermon, the seeds of it might fall into good soil, and that your people here might only be motivated and moved to greater zeal and loyalty and love for you and for one another here at Emmanuel. Let not our love grow cold. Let us be greater in our commitment to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for what you have done to us. And Lord, we see that all that you are busy doing is to conform us to the image of Christ, so that we will patiently bear our cross after him. What an honor. What a wonderful thing that is. We praise your name. And soon you will take us home. You will come on the clouds. And heaven and earth will be united again as it was in the beginning. And we will reign with you forever and ever. In Jesus' name. Amen.